Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would, please, and we're going to hold them up in a second. Let's welcome everybody watching on the internet. Good morning, everybody watching on the internet today. God bless you guys. We love having you from all over the world, all over the country. Grab your Bibles too. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Judges, chapter 3. Judges, chapter 3. I want to talk to you today in our final session on being a VIP, which, again, what does VIP mean? Very important person. You are a very important person to this world. You're a very important person to God. Today, I want to talk to you about your uniqueness, that one of the reasons you bring such value to this day, to this age, to where you are, is all the things that are on the inside of you that you may not even realize are God-given gifts. Your personality, your way of thinking, your talents, your abilities. There are things that make you different from somebody else. Praise God, we're not all the same. And I want to talk to you just kind of to set a foundation about a guy by the name of Ehud, and how God used him and something unique about him to set his people free. Now, the book of Judges, for those of you that are new to your Bibles, the book of Judges is a time during the nation of Israel, which was God's chosen people back to the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those are those patriarchs that you might have heard about, created a nation, and that nation was Israel. It's where Jesus came from. People like the guy named David, King David, all those wonderful individuals that you might hear about in the future. But the book of Judges is a time in Bible history or in Israel's history where there was not a king in Israel yet. Whenever there was a problem, whenever the nation of Israel was under attack, he would raise up a judge. He would raise up a leader, somebody to set them free, someone to deliver them. It could have been a man, it could have been a woman. There were female prophetesses in that book of Judges, one by the name of Deborah, that God used to lead an army and set the people free. There were lots of people like by the name of Samson. You might hear about Samson. That was book of Judges, a guy by the name of Gideon. Those are all book of Judges moments where Israel was being oppressed. They were being held captive. Sometimes it was due to their own sin and failure, and they started worshiping the gods of the nation, other nations around them. And so they would get attacked and taken over because they had broken their covenants with God, and the protection had left. And so they would get attacked, and then a judge would rise up and set them free. And it was just kind of a cycle that they would go through. One of these judges, during a time of oppression, where Israel was under the oppression of a country by the name of Midian. And in this time, God raises up a gentleman by the name of Ehud, which is where I'm going to pick this up for you right now. Judges chapter 3. Now, real quick, before I get into Ehud, I want to designate something. Ehud was left-handed. How many of you are lefties in the house today? Anybody left-handed? Wow, we got a lot of left-handed people here. We break the statistics. Statistically speaking, 10% of the country, or 10% of the world, 10 to 15% is left-handed. And there's so many unique things about left-handed people, very artistic, very creative. So you guys, you know, you're pretty amazing. Give yourself a hand with both hands. Okay, there you go. Ehud was from a tribe of Benjamin. We talked about the tribe of Benjamin last week, for those of you that are with us or watching us online. And God told the tribe of Benjamin that he was going to carry them on his shoulders, and he called them Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, son of my right hand. And in this tribe, God raises up a left-handed person to be a deliverer. It's just kind of a unique little fact. Again, if you do Bible trivia one day, you might, you know, win. Okay. Judges chapter 3, verse 15. But when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. And the sons of Israel sent tribute by him, or with Ehud, to Eglon, the king of Moab. Oh, I was wrong. Sorry, I said Midianites. This is the Moabites. Sorry. Ehud made himself a sword which had two edges, a cubit in length, and he bound it on his right thigh under his cloak. He presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon was a very fat man. Now, I think it's funny. If the Bible says you're fat and takes the time to record it so that all the future generations will know it, I'm just saying. It's noteworthy. Okay? It came about when he had finished presenting the tribute that he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself, Ehud, stayed. He turned back from the idols which were at Gilgal, and he said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And the king basically said, keep quiet, keep silence, and all of his attendants, he had him leave him. Ehud came to him while he was sitting alone in his cool roof chamber. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. And so the king rose up from his seat. Ehud stretched out his left hand. He took the sword from his right thigh, thrust it into the king's belly, so that the handle went in after the blade. So he went in blade and handle, basically. Okay? And the fat closed in over the blade. Wow. Why did you say that, Pastor Kevin? Because I just burned that image in your brain for the rest of your life. And he did not draw out the sword out of his belly, and the refuse came out. Yuck! Everyone ready for lunch? All right. Then Ehud went out into the vestibule, shut the doors of the roof chamber behind him, and he locked them. When he had gone out, his servants, or the king's servants, came and looked, and behold, the door of the roof chamber was locked. And they said, he's only relieving himself in the cool room. They waited until they became anxious, but behold, he did not open the doors of the roof chamber. Therefore, they took a key, opened them, and behold, their master had fallen on the floor dead. Now Ehud escaped, and while they were delaying, he passed by the idols and escaped to Sirah. It came about when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was in front of them, and he said to them, pursue them. For the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan opposite 10,000 Moabites, all robust and valiant men. No one escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land was undisturbed for 80 years. 80 years. Now, let me kind of bring it all together and VIP and your uniquenesses. God used something about Ehud that was special to Ehud. Something that others might have taken for granted. Other people might have thought, oh, that's not a big deal. But back in that time period, the right hand was the hand of battle. The right hand was something to always be watchful and mindful of because most people were right-handed. So if they were going to attack you, if you were going to watch and be on guard, you'd be watching for them to strike with their right hand. And so when Eglon called Ehud close to him, chances are he was not ignorant. He was aware that something could happen. So he's probably watching Ehud from a right-hand perspective, are you understanding? To see if he makes a false move, to see if he reaches for a sword or something like that. But what took the king off guard was the fact that Ehud was left-handed. And so God used his left-handedness to set the people free from that oppression. Are you understanding the illustration? There are some things about our lives that many times we think are just natural. We think, oh, that's just a little idiosyncrasy about myself. Oh, that's just, I'm just a little different here, a little different there. But one of the things that makes you a VIP or very important to this generation are all those things about you that make you you. Your personality, your talents, your way of thinking. Are you understanding? God uses us to deliver people from the wickedness of the devil, from those oppressions. And he uses some of those things that you might just write off. He uses those things and opens doors for you, gets you in front of places that you wouldn't even imagine using those gifts, talents, and unique things about your life. And so today I really want you to start embracing who you are as a person. That you're special to God and there are things about you. God loves you, not just in a general fashion. I want you to see something today. God doesn't just love us all kind of like generally, like, oh, I just love everybody. Yes, he does have that agape love, and it is for everybody. But I believe that God knows each of us very individually. God knows the way you think. God knows your journey. God knows your personality. God knows your giftings and your talents. God knows your idiosyncrasies. And I believe God loves us for each of ourselves individually as well. Amen. I do that with my kids. I love my kids generally. I love all four of my children. Sometimes they feel like eight, but I love all four of my children very generally, openly. But I love the uniqueness about each one of them. Are you understanding that? I love the fact that they're not all the same, and I love some of the things that are different about this one, and that makes the family whole. That makes the family well-rounded. And so who you are, not just the fact that you're just a person and God loves people, who you are, God has a purpose for. God has a plan for. God has a destiny to help make this world a better place using the you that he created. The only way to truly stand out in this world, is to be yourself. The only way to truly stand out in this world is to be you. We live in a culture that's trying to create copycats. And today I don't want you to copy somebody else. Not even in the Christianity realm and charismania around the culture where people want to look at the guy on the platform and say, I need to look like that guy. Or even the Christian music artist or whoever those people are that you might aspire to say, when God grows me up as a believer, I want to be just like them. I have heroes of the faith. I do. I have ancient heroes like the Apostle Paul, King David, obviously Jesus. I have modern day heroes in my life, Billy Graham and some other wonderful teachers that I appreciate. But you know what? I want to be me, amen, and I want to value them. But God didn't want another one of them. He wanted you. The only way to truly stand out in this world is to discover who you are and to own it and let God use it. Amen. Stop denying who you are. Stop like pushing it aside, trying to mold yourself into somebody else's image. Our image is to be the image of Jesus. But Jesus also likes to express himself through each of our uniquenesses. All of us have a fingerprint of God on our personality. Are you understanding? All of us have God's fingerprints on our lives. So we put us all together, we really do look like the body of Christ, rather than we all just look like copycats of the same person. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I knew you, God speaking, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, he's speaking specifically to Jeremiah here. He's speaking to an assignment over Jeremiah's life. But if you pull it into a context outside of just being a prophet, it tells us something about God. That God knows what's going on about us even before we come into this world. That God is the Father of spirits, the Bible says. So God creates our spirit, and then he missions us or commissions us into this world at a specific time. And even while our frame is being formed in our mother's womb, God's purposes, God's destiny, God's plans over our life, God, no, we don't come into this world and then God say, what am I going to do with this person? Oh, one got through. I didn't know they were coming. I better figure out a destiny quick. Do we have some extras lying around? I want you to see that God knew you. God knew what nationality you were going to be born. God knew what generation you were going to be born in. Sometimes people think to themselves, oh, if only I was born, you know, way back when. God didn't want you born way back when. You know, you need to trust God's wisdom on this. You are in the generation you're supposed to be in, and you are the age in that generation you're supposed to be. There are too many times I talk to adults and they say things like, oh, if only I was 25. God doesn't want you 25. If you have a problem with that, blame him. God wants you the age you are. He needs the wisdom that you've gained up to this point to be released in the position and in the relationships and in the timeline that you're currently in. Start trusting God that you are right on time. Amen. 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 And that you're the right nationality and you have the right, you know, he formed you, he birthed you, he brought you here for such a time as this. Amen. But we need to embrace those things and to trust that God knew us before we were born. And there was personality things that we were going to gain in the family environment. Now, I know some of us didn't grow up in great family environments, but we gained extreme perspective growing up in those environments. And that wisdom that you gained in those environments is going to help set somebody else free. It's made you unique. You think differently than somebody else because you were raised in a different home than somebody else. And the way you think, see, it's like being left-handed. That thing about you, God will use to set people free. It's part of what makes you a VIP. God gives each of us gifts. So not only it's something we're born into his family in a time period we were born in, God not only saves us and forgives us of our sins, he then begins to instill power. He begins to instill talents. He begins to instill callings and all kinds of gifts into your life. So God now begins to fill you. He forgives you. He cleanses you from your sin. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. But then the Holy Spirit begins to add and put gifts inside of you. You have unique to you gifts and callings and talents from God. Now, God doesn't just give you those gifts. You're going to find out every one of God's gifts he gives is a tool to do something. They're not gifts like we give our children, like a teddy bear or something just to let them know, or candy, just to let them know we love them and we're just thinking about you. These gifts, now God does bless us for sometimes with certain just blessing gifts, but most of the gifts you're going to read in Scripture that God gives are gifts given to you to go do something with. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Are you following me today? Everybody all right?
Amen.
Good. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. In His grace. And I want you to see that God's gifts are given to us by His grace. We don't earn them. He brings us into His family by His grace that we don't earn. And then He puts gifts and talents on the inside of us by His grace. You didn't earn them. You didn't qualify for them. He put them in you because He knows you even better than you know yourself. And He knows what your journey is going to look like. He knows what paths you're going to take. He knows the people you're going to come in contact with. And so He puts gifts on the inside of you so that you're ready. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We're all good at something. You say, Pastor Kevin, I can't see anything I'm good at. That's what I'm trying to help you today. Break out of that. Come out of agreement with that lie about you and start to love the God, start to love the you that God loves.
Amen.
Amen. So that you can start to share the VIP that you are, that God is creating and God has been building and God has been imparting into. You have gifts from God. You have something to bring. And we all do stuff well. God has given us the ability all to do something well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with such as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it's giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, that is not an all-inclusive list. I'm going to read to you a whole nother list of gifts that God gives. And the Bible gives us different places and insights that God gives multiple varieties of gifts. So please don't look at that and say, Pastor Kevin, I don't necessarily see myself in any of those things. Although I bet you do if you broaden the scope of it. Prophesying is speaking under the unction of God. Obviously, we're all called to encourage people and encourage other people and find out the discouraged and help encourage them. You can find yourself in there in some way, shape, or form. But what I want you to see in that passage of Scripture is not just these rigid categories of gifts. I think God was using a variety to get a point across. He was using a variety of gifts to help us see that God has put stuff in each and every one of us. And then He began to say, now use it. See, the first half of the verse, you get a wisdom or a revelation that says God is giving each of us abilities, gifts. But then the second half, as you study that verse, is you see God is intending on each of those things to be used to make this world better, to make other people's lives better. You have a gift given to you to bring to this generation for such a time as this. God has put unique talents, unique ways of thinking, unique perspectives into you. And God knows who you are, and He has need of you, the age you are, the gender that you are, the nationality that you are, where you live. He needs you, and God knows what He's doing. Here's another list. We love lists. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. In your Bible, it's going to be called spiritual gifts. But I want to clarify something with the idea of spiritual gifts. They're not spiritual as in the act of they're ethereal or mystical. Sometimes we kind of leave spiritual gifts out there as like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, they're spiritual gifts. They're spiritual gifts because they're gifts given by the Holy Spirit of God. And you're going to notice something about each of these gifts. They're not meant to stay in the spirit. They change the natural. They change the physical. So yeah, they're spiritual gifts being spiritually given, but they're gifts that affect the real world.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Give me a good amen on that.
Amen.
A better amen on that.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So who's the gift giver? The Spirit, right? Now God's Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Three of you knew that? Let me say that again very slowly. God's Holy Spirit is the Spirit of
God.
I gave you the clue in the beginning. You guys didn't even say anything. God's Holy Spirit is the Spirit of
God.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's the Spirit of God. God is the one giving these gifts. God knows what He's doing. God created you. God saved you. God's filling you. It's all a work of God. Amen. There are different kinds of service. These are talking about now some of the distributions and some of the types of gifts. There's different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. See, now the gifts are talking about serving the Lord with these gifts. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Is anyone being left out?
No.
Spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. See, it's being given to us to go do something with. But if you deny that you have any gifts, if you look at yourself in the mirror and you can't say anything good about you, you look at yourself in the mirror and think everyone else is more qualified, everyone else is more gifted, everyone else is better, more talented, smarter, all this stuff, then you will never be the VIP. You'll never embrace who you are and look and say, I have something. Because God said I have something. And God helped me see the something I have. Because I want to spend my life helping other people.
Amen.
Not always just bringing people to other people because they're the ones that can help them. You can help them.
Amen.
You can help them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Your Bibles may read, maybe more like a New King James Version, say words of wisdom, words of knowledge. See, the Spirit distributes these gifts as He desires and as He knows your path and your journey is going to be. He knows what you're going to have need of. You know, and so maybe you're a business person, man or woman. You know, again, we think these spiritual gifts are ethereal, ghostly, mystical, and they're only supposed to be used in church. In reality, these spiritual gifts are given to affect the natural world, the natural realm.
Yes.
Amen. And so we become excellent in those gifts, knowing we have them, and then we begin to develop them. See, once you own it, you can develop it. Man, that's a really good place to say amen. And now as a business person, you might be in a setting, in a company, and the company's having financial difficulty. There's hundreds of employees' lives and income at risk here in families. And you are a Spirit-filled person, and God has the ability to give you a spiritual gift where you can have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or understanding about what's going on. And you can say, God, I thank you that you speak to me, and I thank you that you can reveal the mystery about what's going on in this company right now and how to fix it. Amen. And so now that spiritual gift brings natural change and helps a whole lot of people. Because God says if you just fix this and do this and do this, He can map you out a plan in 30 minutes that a bunch of advisors couldn't have figured out in 30 years. Understand? How many believe God can do that?
Amen.
I do. I really do. And again, it brings great value to you as a part of this world. That's the part of being a city on a hill that cannot be hid. It's not just so that people can look at you and go, wow, look how cool you are. It's because they look at you and you have answers, solutions. And God distributes these gifts. The Spirit of God distributes these gifts. The same Spirit gives great faith to another person. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. And He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. So another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so here the Holy Spirit is saying, I know you, I know your journey, I know what you're going to have need of, I know where you fit in the house of God, and how you're going to be able to bless the house of God with each of these gifts individually, and I know how you're going to be able to take those gifts and use them out in the places that you will go, where your feet will tread. So the Holy Spirit's very smart. Is that a good place to say amen? He's very smart. He knows how to take care of you, He knows what you're going to need, He knows your uniqueness. And the Bible also says this, though. The Bible says that we can desire spiritual gifts. And so now, once you realize that God's a gift giver, once you realize that there are gifts to receive, you can begin to ask God intentionally, say, God, I know I have gifts, but I want more. But see, if you're like some people who are always denying that they're even valuable, or why would God ever use them, or the devil gets them all messed up on the inside. They see nothing good, nothing worthwhile, no purpose, no value on the inside. That's an attack of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. But once I can see that God would bring me gifts, God would put me in great places, of course God would use me the way I am and who I am and how my journey has been and my personality and my experiences. Now we can begin to say, God, just keep giving me more gifts. God, I desire even more because I know I'm allowed to ask. I know you want to give me these things and I can make a difference in this world. But you see, there's a big thing that has to switch there. This idea of you're worth something, you can do something, and you can ask for something and receive by faith and own it and use it. And this other perspective that is just like, I'm nothing. You have to break out of the I'm nothing mentality.
Amen.
Amen. All of these gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of faith, healings, miracles, those, and the ones previously, generosity, leadership, hospitality, encouraging other people. When we see who we are and we see kind of our uniquenesses and we see our talents and we see our abilities, we see these gifts in our lives, we have to own them and make them ours. You won't use it like you should until you own it like you should.
Amen.
See, once I realize it's mine, it's who I am, it's something I can count on, it's in me. Now I can put myself in places where I know what's in me is going to solve that problem. Like if you're a mechanic and you have the ability to fix cars or something, and someone's car breaks down, you know what's in you. You don't deny who you are. Are you understanding? And you're like, well, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Don't you lie to me now. Or if you're a doctor and you know how to help somebody and they have a heart attack on an airplane, you understand it's their responsibility. Get up out of your chair and go help that person. Because you own your gift. You answered that call. You know what to do. I'm trying to help you see the same thing about you. That you own the gifts that God's put you. You say, I am an encourager. I am a leader. I am a person of great wisdom and great revelation. I can get a hold of God. And so now you begin to look for opportunities. I own my gift. Now I begin to hone in that gift. I begin to become a master of that craft. Amen. And I begin to ask God, open doors for me to use who I am. Because I know there's something in here, and I want to bring it. We all have something to bring to the table. Now, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, and here I got my little briefcase, and like I told you, VIPs are often, like in the business realm, they're the people that you bring into the company to turn the company around. Because what's in them, the wisdom that's in them, the insight that's in them, can change the whole company. Amen. You know, when I say you're a VIP, it's not just like entertainers in Hollywood, where they're just there to entertain you. I'm talking about a VIP that what's on the inside of them is world-changing. What's on the inside of them can turn a life around, a marriage around, a child's destiny around, someone's physical body, if it's in sickness. What's in you can turn the culture around. And so we all have something to bring to the table. We all have things that God has put on the inside of us or that our journey has put on the inside of us to bring to the table. You know, some of the things that came to mind when I was preparing this, because I want to not just talk about the spiritual gifts, like healing and words of wisdom, words of knowledge, those are huge, but I'm just trying to give you a few lists in the Bible. I'm not trying to put this rigid line in you that says it's just these 7 or 8 or 9 certain gifts. I'm just telling you, God puts things in your life, gifts into your life, talents into your lives, things in you because he knows who you are and where you're going to go. And that's just a few lists. But God's not the only one that puts things in our lives that can be used to help other people. Life sometimes put things in our lives that God will then use to help somebody. That doesn't mean that pain that was brought into your life was from God. But God knows how to take that pain and make purpose out of it. Amen. But some of the things in you that you might take for granted are things like your personality. Your personality, you bring your personality to the table. Some of you are very outgoing. You're a party on wheels. Praise God. We love you. We want you to show up at our house because you make everybody laugh. You make the room fill up with energy. You make everyone have a good time. I thank God for those party personalities. Amen. Some of us are not party personalities. Some of us are a shy personality. We like to be the person in the back of the room in one chair with a cup of coffee talking to one person. Because if more than one person talks to us at a time, we begin to have anxiety attacks. Okay? But you know what? God needs both of us. Your personality about being loud and outgoing and fun-loving, even though that might annoy some of us shy people and we look at you like, stop. Calm down. But you know what? Then the loud, lively person sees the shy person and it's like, wake up. Live a little. But the truth is we need both. Amen. And then we need everything in the middle. You know, there are people that are more reserved personality you're going to come in contact with, that a loud person will never be welcomed into their world. Are you hearing me?
Right.
And then there are people with very boisterous personalities and loud personalities. They're going to have opportunity to speak to a whole another group of people. And then everything in between when it comes to personality. Amen? God knows how to use you. But you need to start seeing you as someone God can use. And those things about you, see, like a shy person, sometimes they look at themselves and they look down on themselves thinking, why am I not like that person? Rather, why don't you embrace some of those things about you, that you're more of a one-on-one person. Now, yeah, you have to still push through some fears. We're not supposed to be bound by fear. But you might just always be a type of person that's more of a one-on-one person. That's all right. So embrace that about you. Don't not like yourself because you're not like the other person.
Right.
Amen. And then the same thing with the other person. I could go back and forth with illustrations. There's always two sides to every coin. With every strength, there's a weakness that goes with that strength. But it's still a strength. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Gifts and talents. Each of you have gifts. Each of you have talents. Like I said, some of you can fix cars. Some of you can sing. Hallelujah for those who can sing. Because they lead us in song and they help us touch the throne and for heaven to touch our lives. But that's not all of our talent and ability. But don't feel bad about yourself if you can't sing. God says, make a joyful noise. That's all he's asking for, a noise. But we thank God for those who can sing. But you bring something else to the table. Some of you are good at cleaning and cooking and details and administrations and gardening and who knows what. You could list all kinds of things about you. Some of you are great at computers. Thank you for being alive. You are healing evangelists of computers. You come in and you lay hands on the sick and you cast out the virus that most of us put on there ourselves because we open every silly thing that comes into our email without reading. Oh, let's open that, open that, open that. And you take it in and someone's like, your computer has 50,000 viruses on it. Wow. But you have gifts and you have talents and God can use you. You have the mind of an engineer. I thank God for those kinds of minds. We need that. The world needs you to think the way you think. And others of us have creative minds. Some of us think very linearly, very straight line. Others of us think like spaghetti. And we're all over the place. But yet God uses both. Amen. Gifts and talents. That doesn't make you bad. If you have spaghetti thinking, that doesn't mean that you should feel bad about you. Amen.
Amen.
Experiences. Like I said, all of us have walked through stuff. Hurt, pain, rejection, offense. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, which means we've sinned and we've done things to others, things with our own lives that we would be ashamed of to even speak of. God knows how to redeem. God knows how to use everything with nothing wasted. Again, he didn't cause those things. He didn't cause you to sin, and he didn't cause someone to sin against you. But God knows how to use all of those pieces. So you don't have to hate or reject who you are because of the journey that you've walked. You can say, God, redeem it. God, use my pain, use my hurt, use my failures to help somebody else. But again, so many times people see themselves in the mirror like they have no value or no worth, or they wish they had somebody else's life. And I'm telling you, your life, God can do something beautiful with it. Amen. Your value, some of your value to this world is the journey that you've walked, that no one else has walked. We each bring different perspectives. You know, praise God that not every generation thinks the same. That one generation thinks music should sound like this. Another generation thinks music should sound like that. One generation says hair should look like this. And another generation says hair should look like that. One generation loves to shave. The other one loves their face to be as hairy as possible. One people likes room in their jeans. The other one can't even breathe. And they love it. But we all bring different perspective. We can all read the Bible and find different things in it that are valuable. Amen. And that makes us well-rounded. It doesn't make us, again, we have to learn how to control and know the boundaries of our differences, but embrace our differences. You understand? See, the one generation brings a value and says to the other, don't forget these things. And the other generation says, we're learning these new things. Let's add them together and make something really special. Rather than one generation opposing another. That's how you can have a multi-generational church. We all bring different perspectives. Some of you have been through wars. Some of you have never been through a war. All of us together have different perspectives to bring, and it's valuable and it's important.
Amen.
Amen. And God knows how to use those things to make the world better. And then lastly, I'll talk about the anointing. I still believe in this word called the anointing. I know in modern day church, sometimes people don't talk about this, and let me help for some of you that are new to church understand what it means. The word anointing is God's supernatural ability on the natural person. It's God's power, God's presence upon a person's life, doing something they couldn't do on their own. I don't ever want church to be a place that just with our own creativity, our own strategies and structures, we just create everything. I want the supernatural touch of God. I want God to be able to do more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And I believe on each and every one of your lives, not only are there talents and callings and experiences and impartations of gifts, but there's an anointing on your life. There is a special touch of God's power and ability on each and every one of you. You know, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came down in the upper room, there was 120 people in that upper room. And the Bible says that there was a flame of fire on top of the head of each and every one. What does that tell me? That there was a corporate, yes, baptism in the Holy Spirit, but every single person has a fire from God on the inside of them. Amen. God's intention and God's will is that each of you have a passion and a desire and an ability and an empowerment. You have an anointing that you bring to the table. And it's time for you to find it. And it's time for you to discover it. Amen. You discover it so that you can own it and use it. The Apostle Peter discovered his so that he now confidently would bring it. I'm telling you, I'm not just making this stuff up. This is Bible stuff I'm telling you, everybody. Even the Apostle Peter needed something like this. He said in Acts chapter 3, and this is where I want to get us to today. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple to worship, and there was a beggar at the temple. And he wanted alms or support, money, silver or gold. And Peter makes a striking statement to him. Listen to what he says. He says, Peter said, I don't possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. Well, Peter was aware of what he didn't have, but you know what? He didn't focus on what he didn't have. He focused on what he had. And until you own what you have, you'll never give it to somebody else.
Amen.
You understand? You have perspective. Own it.
Yeah.
Share it. You have experiences. Own it. Share it. You have personality and talents and anointings. Own it and share it. Don't be focused on what you don't have. Figure out what you have and own it.
Amen.
So you can use it like you're supposed to use it. Amen. Man, that was a really good place to say amen. And it wasn't just limited to Peter. Paul was the same. Another one, Paul. Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said it like this to the church of Rome. He says, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. Paul knew that when he went to Rome, he was going to bring it. And he was going to make their lives better. That's what I want us to be like. You are a VIP. Those unique things about you, those gifts, those talents, your experience, your perspective, your anointings on your life, own it and then say, I can't wait to get there so I can bring who I am and what's in me and let it loose on all of you.
Amen.
So when you go to the workplace or you go to the school that you teach in or you go to your neighborhood, you don't sit around thinking you have nothing to bring to the table. You all have things to bring to the table.
Amen.
Man. Absolutely. We are closing our school of the Bible. Or not closing school of the Bible, we're closing our year. Sorry. Like, whoo! Like, what happened there? No. We're closing the year, this year, of school of the Bible. And we always do exit interviews when we close. We interview the students in our second year, and we begin to ask them about their gifts tests. We take gifts tests. There's so many different varieties of gifts tests in the world. We do one called the DISC test. D-I-S-C. And there's multiple ones you can take, but we do that, and then we begin to dream with them at the end of their 2 journey. We tell them, we've invested 2 years of the Word of God in you. We've sown 2 years of seed into your life, and we don't sow seed to just see seed. We sow seed to see harvest. And so what's God been putting in your heart that's starting to grow? And then we try to make a plan to help them further their lives. And many of them have created awesome ministry. There's some that are already doing website ministries right now. There's some that are doing feeding program ministries. They're getting together. It's going to be great. So many beautiful things that are coming from their hearts that are going to move into this world. They found their gifts. They found their talents. They're going to move into this world and do something with them. It's great. It's part of the reason we do the Bible school. But it's interesting in these exit interviews, when they were going over their gift tests, the DISC, the gifts assessment tests, because some of them were kind of uncomfortable with some of their strengths. And I'll tell you, let me read them to you real quick and I'll tell you why. The D in the DISC, some of the things about a D perspective is they could be dominant, direct, demanding, but they're decisive. Some of the things that motivate a D personality, challenge and give them control of something. Some of their desires have freedom from control, to be given authority, positions of authority, difficult assignments. Some of you might be this personality. They need to learn, a D person needs to learn that you need other people. Amen. Relaxation is not a crime. And to keep you balanced, you need to have a servant's heart. Amen? An I personality is an inspiring personality, an influencing personality. They like impressing people, things like that. They are motivated by recognition and approval. They're people that like to go into the room and kind of own that room that we talked about. They desire friendly relationships. They desire freedom from details. Is that some of you in the room? Don't give me all the details. I just want to have a good time. They love opportunities to motivate others, and they love to talk and verbalize ideas. They need to learn. Deadlines are important. Being responsible is more important than just being popular. And so for every strength, there's a weakness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. An S personality, someone that's submissive, steady, stable, they're security oriented, they're motivated by stability and support. They like things or desire places to establish a work pattern. They like security in a situation. Consistent, familiar environments. Some of you might be that way. You like things to be a certain way. You like it to be carved out. Don't change. Don't change the plan on you or you're going to freak out. Okay? Don't change the plan. Some of the things they need to learn, change can be a good thing. Amen. And boldness in taking risks sometimes is necessary. And so they need to learn some confidence. The C, the final one, competent, compliant, cautious, calculating mentality. They desire clearly defined tasks. They like limited risks. Some of you are like, I like risks, but just not too much risk. They like a lot of time to think. They need to learn that total support is not always possible. That sometimes, even though they want to think and they want to calculate, not everyone's always going to agree on the same thing. And some people can't handle that. They need everybody to agree. And sometimes you have to move forward even when some people aren't always in agreement. They need to understand thorough explanation is not everything. And they need to avoid, a trap for them is avoid being critical of others or having a critical spirit. Maybe especially some of those people that aren't thinking it through as much as you would have. And so we begin to have a strength and a weakness on both sides. But we're all made differently. And what I love about that gifts assessment test is it began to help people see who they were. You know, fire has a good side and a bad side, but it doesn't make fire bad. Are you understanding? It's just the way that electricity has good and bad that you can do with it. It's just learning how to use the power of it. And see, in some of those exit interviews, I had some individuals who were like, I'm a D. And they felt bad that they were a D. I'm like, I'm a D. You know? And I'm like, why are you feel bad that you're a D? And they're like, because I was raised in a home where someone was a D and they abused us. They controlled everybody and they were such and such and such and such. And I said, look, you being a D isn't a bad thing. It's you just got to learn how to be a D right. The world needs people that are going to go out there and charge the mountain. Amen. The world needs people that'll help us get something done even before we figured it all out. And then we had other people that were maybe in the S category, and they were like, you know, I'm not real good in crowds, and, you know, I'm not, you know, whatever. And I was like, look, own who you are. It's all right. And these individuals are making things online and computers and graphics and designs that the D personality would have shot the computer by now. And they're doing things that something, see, you own who you are. It's okay. Yeah. When I say own who you are, you realize I'm not talking about carnal attitudes, right? Right. I used to have friends who'd be like, this is just who I am, and that's just the way it's going to be. And they were just, and they just wanted to have a bad attitude. I'm not talking about bad attitudes. I'm talking about personality, talking about ways of thinking, talking about environments and experiences and things. You don't have to be afraid of you. Amen. You need to figure out who you are, and you need to love some of the ways you think and the way you process, and say, God, you have a way to use it all. Lord, you have a way to use it all. Amen. Go ahead, stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Good. Let's go ahead and close. Let me pray this into your life. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray over Life Church and all those watching on the internet as well. And Lord, I pray that you help us have eyes to see and ears to hear. There is something unique about us. There's something special that you've put in our lives. Lord, there's also experiences and things that maybe we've hated to go through, and they bring us all kinds of grief when we think about it. But Lord, we know you have a way of redeeming those journeys. And God, I just pray over this house today. We are VIPs in this world. We have something to bring to the table. And Lord, I pray you help us to see it, own it, and use it. I bless this house right now in Jesus' name. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Stop hating ourselves. Stop looking down on ourselves. Stop looking at everybody else for what they have and thinking we have nothing. I break that assignment over our lives. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of us. And I thank you for our uniquenesses. And I ask, Lord, that you make them anointed uniquenesses and help us use them intentionally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I want to challenge you today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, do it today. God has plans for you. God knows how to take your life and do something special with it. God wants to forgive you of your sins and give you a hope and a future. And so today, if you don't know if you're in right relationship with God, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. Would everyone bow your heads and close your eyes for the next 30 seconds? I'm not going to call you to the front. You know who you are. You know if you're right with God or not. You say, Pastor Kevin, I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I can't remember a time in my life where I actually did it. I may have been going to church my whole life, but I don't remember a time that I actually asked Jesus to be my God. Or you may say, Pastor Kevin, I've had a whole nother journey, and I used to walk with the Lord and had a great relationship with God, and then I just got sidetracked and got involved in sin and got involved in selfishness or anger or whatever, and I want to get my life back to God. I want to give my life back to God, if that's you today, either one of those categories. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray for you right at your seat, but I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to raise your hand. If that's you today, you say, Pastor Kevin, I want to get my life right with God today. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right where you are today? There's a hand right there in the middle. Anybody else? Just put your hand up anywhere you are today, and we'll pray for you. Not going to call you to the front, but there's no reason to leave today out of relationship with God. Just put your hand up wherever you are. Put your hand up today wherever you are. Amen. All right, let's all pray together. Would you please pray a simple prayer like this? Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned, and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate the one? Amen. Praise God. And my prayer teams to come forward. We have some great prayer teams that are here. They'd be glad to pray with you as we dismiss today. They'll pray with you for healing or freedom or filling with the Spirit or whatever you might need. Let me bless you and dismiss you as you go on out. If you prayed that prayer today, maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't. But right behind our video cameras, there's a New Beginnings area, and there's somebody there with Bibles and resources, someone to connect you to the church family to help you in your journey so that you're not by yourself. Let me bless you and dismiss you. Father, I bless Life Church as they go. I bless them to be a city on a hill that can't be hidden. I bless them to take who they are and to bring your blessing of who they are into this world around them. Help them to be expectant. Help them to be looking. And Lord, we give you thanks for the assignment on our life and the gifts in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go.